going on, guys? Who is today here? Welcome to another episode of Afrobeats Weekly, a podcast about African music on the continent and the diaspora. We were mourning the fall off from the top three of one of our favorite rappers, so we couldn't be here last week. That's the excuse. But we're better now. We are healing. We're moving on. Pray for us in these times of need. You know, we've come to the conclusion by his decision. He has made it, and as things are playing out, it might be the right decision to make. But that's neither Afrobeats nor there. How's everybody doing? How's your body going? Favorite Afrobeat duo is here. What else? Charlie Poppy is dividing the internet once again. We'll get into that. It's the Afrobeat Weekly Podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is the podcast on all things Afrobeat. Thank you for clicking. Thank you for checking us out. Before we get into today's episode, I need you guys to please rate and review this podcast and engage with us. Helps us grow, helps us get noticed. Just give us that like. So as you're listening from your favorite app right now, please leave that 5-star rating and comment. We appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. On today's episode of Afrobeats Weekly, we've got that Charlie Poppy, Shakes Poppy album on deck. I know a lot of you want to hear what we got to say. We also got our Young John's debut, Jiggy Forever. And as usual, new songs, Player of the Week, Turntable Charts, Eliminate, and all that other good stuff. What's good, my G? What's good?
Pow, 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 pow. Yo, what's good, my G?
Okay, bro.
Yo, how's your week, man? Not you good?
Chilling.
It was a rough week, man. It was a rough week, you know, all across the internet, all across the group chats. It was a rough week for us.
I mean, rough in the sense that it was, you know, like we like when things are interesting and there's controversy and everybody can like chip in and give their points and everything. So it was
true. A whole lot of entertainment was popping this week. Shout out to this week.
Entertainment. Afrobeats way, so it was interesting. It was an interesting week.
Yeah, man, it was pretty cool. Over this side, you know, Ashake had his concert. You know, we were scared. We thought it was not going to happen, but it did happen. Same thing, internet. You know, people that were there, mixed reviews.
Yeah.
You know, from both sides. Some people really loved it. Some people thought it was, you know, it was kind of weird. You know, some people really didn't rate it. You know, so it was like different reviews, man. But at least it did happen.
Yep.
You know, it didn't get canceled. But there were a whole lot of things, you know, going into it for the fact that, you know, it didn't sell out like how people wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And now it makes sense because I was always like, you know, like I said, you know, promoters, it wasn't on Ashake, to be honest. It was like more of the promoters. And it's also not really on the promoters because of how much they had to pay to get Ashake, apparently.
Yeah, I said it. I think that was they factored in how much Ashake, you know, commands.
I mean, they did factor it in. That's why, like, so apparently it's about 300K. So if it's about 300K, that's 300K. Then you have to pay for the venue. Then you have to pay for, like, security and everything. Then you probably have to pay for, like, promotion and all that. So that's a whole lot of, that bag is already big. Then you now have to now think about, okay, how are we going to make our money back? And then how are we going to, you know, get some profit from this. So all that to say, like, that's the only venue they could choose. And of course, you know, they tried their best. It was good. It was a good turnaround. Like,
because I saw, the way I saw it, are you done?
no, you can jump in.
Okay, the way I saw it, it was, at first, everybody was scared. Like, when I woke up and I started reading, like, tweets from different people I followed and kind of stuff, I was saying, oh, this place is empty. Oh, this place is so empty. What's going to happen? Ashake is not out yet. And I think in the blink of an eye, next thing, everybody was like, oh, this place is full. This place is packed. So, everybody's here. So, I think they reduced maybe the tickets over time. Maybe people, like, heard and people started trooping in.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know people that bought the ticket the day of, like, just because. Yeah, just because the prices kept dropping, and so and that's a good thing. Like, you'd rather make some money than no money at all. So that was a good thing.
What I saw was the show was short. I think it was like a 1 hour.
Yeah, it was just 1 hour and some change. Like, so 1 hour, like maybe like 5 minutes or 10 minutes max. Given the fact that they waited that long, because everybody got in like maybe 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
There was no opening acts. That's another story. Apparently, there was supposed to be an opening act. I don't know if you know. I think we reviewed her music here. Her name is Tomei. So she was supposed to be the opening act, and then she was no longer the opening act because she didn't perform, and there was something on her IG that she's going to tell the story of why she didn't perform. So there was that, and then, you know, pretty much I don't think the DJ was playing that great, and then like 2 hours of just waiting, then Asake comes and performs, and then he performs for just like an hour or some change. So people felt some kind of way. Other people loved it because it just felt, you know, because Asake is like back-to-back hits.
Yeah.
You know, just bangers and bangers and bangers and bangers. So people loved it.
There's only so much you can sing and perform in a show like that. That is not like, oh, like an Asake set list where you can change, go back, somebody will come in, another person will come in, we'll have like
TV. Exactly. So that was another thing. People like, he never changed, he was just on stage the whole time.
And again, I think the only thing I saw online was the whole selling out and not selling out thing, but that was mostly from like all these fan camps trying to say, oh, Bernard did this first. The fear that we had, you know, they always go to turn it and say, oh, if we didn't sell out, but the show was a success in terms of like,
yeah, like, I'm sure people coming through, sure people, like, you know, so now it's now up to the now turns into the, you know, how well was his stage performance and all that. That's another discussion.
That was like mixed reviews from even this morning as I was checking. I saw a lot of mixed reviews about his performance.
Yeah, that's another thing. So yeah, you know, you'll probably get better. Like I said, gotta do more and more of these shows, you know, get feedback, and then you can, you know, you can blow. So yeah. Always say that.
Big ups, man. Big ups, Afrobeat. It's good to know that Asake is still, you know, performing. Still, people are still loving him. Still a fan here. People are still fans here. So yeah.
It's the money.
That's our Asake internet from the internet review. Let's go to fan mail this week. We have 3 for the price of 1. We'll just, you know, get through. Let me allow Shuri the first one.
Hey, yo, man. So let me go through the first one.
Yeah.
All right. So, hello, guys. I trust this email finds you well. Firstly, I want to express my appreciation for the exceptional content you consistently deliver on your podcast.
Gracias.
Cheers. Yes. Your dedication to highlighting African music, particularly from Nigeria, is commendable and serves as a beacon for Afrobeats enthusiasts worldwide.
I know all these kind of emails that, you know, they will first big you up. And they're not giving the...
However...
However,
I must address a glaring omission that has left me perplexed and, frankly, disappointed. In a recent episode, you have meticulously reviewed albums from various artists within the Afrobeats genre, including Adekunle's, Tyler, YKB Yusuf, to name a few. Yet, the absence to any mention, let alone a review of Timi Dakolo's latest album, is disheartening. Timi Dakolo's album stands as a pinnacle of musical excellence, embodying the essence of authentic Afrobeat sound while seamlessly blending soulful melodies and poignant lyrics. Dope, man. It's a testament to his artistry and the rich tapestry of Nigerian music. Therefore, the oversight is not featuring his work on your platform is both perplexing and unjustifiable. Oh my God, what did we do? I understand that each episode requires careful curation, but to discard an album of such caliber is a disservice to your audience and the artist himself. Even esteemed personalities like Tunde, wow, Tunde, call out, man, were unable to offer a plausible explanation for this oversight, hinting at the possible bias. Wow. Moreover, while the recent episode featuring Beyonce was undoubtedly insightful, it's perplexing. Man, we're perplexed about this, man. To see a deviation from the core focus of promoting authentic Afrobeats content. As a dedicated listener and supporter of your podcast, I felt compelled to voice my concerns. Timmy Dekalo's album deserves the same level of attention and recognition afforded to other artists within the Afrobeat sphere. I urge you to reconsider and rectify this omission by featuring a comprehensive review of his album in an upcoming episode. Thank you for considering my feedback, and I look forward to witnessing the continued growth and excellence of your podcast. Warm regards to your entire team. Tokini George. Hello to you, my brother.
What to me? You need it. You need the breather after reading that long.
Yeah, man. I'm perplexed by you're not jumping real quick.
Tokini, thank you very much, first of all, for you know, taking time out to write to us. I don't know. I listened to the album. It's a good album. I mean, I don't know if, you know, versatile is the word I want to use for the album, but the album is good. I like different styles. I didn't know Timmy Dekalo could pull off all those styles, especially those high life songs. I heard it. I played everything Amen for a while or two. It was everywhere, so I played it. That was my song for a while. But truth be told, I didn't go back to the album because I'm not heavy into Timmy Dekalo's music aside. I mean, everybody recognizes him for the, you know, talent that he is, but I'm not just heavy into his music like that. But Chorus Leader was solid. That was a very solid album. To be honest, I don't know why we didn't review it. I don't know why we didn't review, but no vex. Thank you for writing us. Solid album. This is our review. This is my review. I don't know if you should listen to it, but this is my review. That one was a very good album. Solid album.
So I think it was, I want to believe it's one of the weekends where we didn't have a pod, because I think it came out in January. Okay. I think maybe fine last week in January, so I don't think we had a pod that weekend. Yeah, like, I listened to the album, kind of go what you said. I skimmed through it once, I didn't go back to it. And like, I couldn't even put one of the songs on any of my playlists. Like, there was only like one song I was like, oh, let me steal this song. I feel like it's just an album. The songs just fit only on the album.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Like, it's an easy listening if you want to just listen to that vibe all through. However, for me and my household, like, it's not something I would be, you know, jumping back to. But I still think it's a good album.
Yeah, it is.
If that's your cup of tea, I still think it's a good album.
Yeah.
And like, my standout track, like, I can say what my standout track is. Iyawo Me, Everything, which is Amen. I like Men of the South and Happy Fellows. So those are the songs that I liked. So yeah.
So there you have it, Tokini. That's a review.
I hope it's okay. I hope it's okay. But you know,
I hope you are less perplexed now.
I hope, man. I hope. But you know, shout out to Tokini. Yeah, you know,
shout out to you, man. Thank you for listening. All right, let's move on to Basu here. Big shout out to you guys for always making Mondays start with a bit of fun. I just finished listening to the latest episode, and there's a bit of discussion on why Kiss Daniel isn't as rated as he should be. While I can't speak for everybody, here are my two cents. There was a time when most people felt that there was something missing before he could be spoken of in terms of the big three / big four. Maybe with a bit of luck / management, he was going to get there, but he dropped Buga, and it almost felt like he found a hit formula and stuck with it and decided not to improve again. I don't think he has had a good song after Buga drops. Yes, he has had massive hits, but if you tell me he has had good songs, I'll have to take your word for it. On some level, I think he knows, but these criticisms get to him, and that's why he said the things he said on My G. I just can't reconcile the same artist that sang Good Time and Rubber with this one that is singing Shuperu and Twe Twe Twe. So over to you for that one.
Like I said, man, I feel sometimes certain artists need to be guided. Yeah. And it's not a bad thing if an artist needs to be guided, right? Yeah. Executive producers and A&Rs and all those things are important for an artist, no matter what, I keep wanting to say no matter what, but at no point at no stage in time are they not important. And that's what stops some certain artists from having classic material. I mean, point, we can go back into the time. I feel like someone like as talented as Chris Brown doesn't have a classic album. He has good albums, but he doesn't have a classic album.
I beg to differ, but continue.
He doesn't have a classic album. There's no album that Chris Brown that stands the test of time like Usher that has Confessions or it's 701. There's none. We can't have that. That argument is, you can't have that argument. There's nothing like that. Just dead it. And that's because direction is needed from a veteran, you know, producer, from a veteran ear or something like that, which helps guide you and say, oh, look, this song, this song shouldn't make the album. That song shouldn't make the album. There's certain things like that, and it helps. So, you know, people like Wande, who we know is madly talented, has not had, you know, the same thing after leaving Mohits. And that is also true because we can also say, look, the veteran ear is gone. You don't have the power to do this thing alone. Yeah. And it's okay. So, you know, I think that, you know, Kings Daniel will come to a point, or maybe he would, you know, drop with a producer that would say, hey, look, let me guide you on this thing. Let me, you know, let's produce this thing together. And with that, he might come out with a monster album. I pray and I hope so. That's my.
I think let me just add my own. It's not my own is not even really that deep. I just think maybe he's actually comfortable where he is. You know, like dropping hits, making money, being introverted, and maybe that's who he is. And he can't really like snap out of it, because to crack the like top three or top four in Nigeria, you have to have, in addition to the hits, you have to have your fair share of constantly being in the news, in people's faces, a controversy here and there. So I feel like that's what is missing in terms of, you know, that popularity that, you know, skyrockets him to that top three, top four thing. So I just think that's what is missing. That's just my own simple, you know, explanation.
You think what is missing again? Please,
like
just...
him just being out there, like small controversy here.
I think
he has the hits.
No. See, the reason why Asake is filling up Scotiabank Arena is because he has two albums that one is considered a classic. Yes. It's not because he has controversy.
Yes, I get has hits in two albums.
But yes,
he's Daniel's material. However, from whenever he started to now, he still has the same kind of like the same amount of hits. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it doesn't tally. Wande has more hits. He can't fill up the arena. I'm telling you that album, like classic material, classic material helps.
What's wrong with him too is almost wrong with Wande in terms of, I don't want to use lazy, but being out there, like doing something to, you know, be in people's faces, those are what gets you into conversations. Like, so the hits are there already, like for all these guys. But to have that, okay, this boy now, he'll be top three or he'll be top four, there has to be like every year, like there are no breaks. Every year you are doing something, every year there's an album, every year they are talking about you, every year you've done something. So that's just my take.
Every year and a classic album. Every year and classic material.
If you can't do that.
Every year and classic material. Like, you have to have classic material to enter into that top, that echelon. You have to have classic material. You have to have the album that everybody's talking about 1 year. Like 1 year, everybody's talking about that album because the album has multiple hits. Yeah. Not that you come out 1 year and you give us two hits that you went the way. No, give us a project, multiple hits. Everybody's going to talk about you that whole year. The next year, maybe you did something, you dropped another album. Maybe it's not as good as the classic album, but it has another body of work, another set of hits. That's it. That's all you need.
Well, I guess time will tell who's going to. There's no unanimous four or five now. So
there's three. There's big three. That's it. And there's
big three. There's big three. And I know one of the big three I said is the only one there. He has gone the Kendrick route, but there's still.
There's only one big B.
There's still one big three. Bassi wrote us twice, so let me allow Sho read that one.
Okay, so last one. Sebastian here again. I'm curious if you guys can do an episode that speaks on how sampling works. Here's the thing. I used to think Lost Ones by Lauryn Hill was the origin of the popular song, but it turns out the original was Sister Nancy's Bam Bam. My question now is, if someone samples the Lauryn Hill song, or Logic's Bobby, a Hov's Bam, are you sampling just the song? Or since they're indirectly sampling Sister Nancy ones too, you have to be on the hook for that one as well. I think there are other aspects to this as well as, but yeah, it would be nice to hear you guys speak on it. In more recent times, if today I sample Burna's Last, am I also sampling the Toni Braxton song?
Okay, this one is, I won't say easy, but there's a perfect example I can use. So without getting too deep into like the technicalities of like sampling and all those different realities and all those things, let me use a recent example floating on the internet. Metro Boomin and The Weeknd have a song called Creepin', where they use the drums owned by Eric Sermon on your customer. These drums were used by Mary Winans on I Don't Want to Know. That drum pattern. So the same Mary Winans used the song also sampled by Enya. So that's that. So Metro Boomin is paying and also crediting Eric Sermon for using his drums, which are on that Mary Winans song. And according to Eric Sermon, he owns 4% of the publishing on that Metro Boomin song. So Mary Winans also own a part of the publishing on the Metro Boomin song. So that's how sampling works. So today, if you're sampling Last, you're sampling It Wasn't Man Enough by Toni Braxton. So it's almost just that simple, but there's just a certain percentage that, you know, I think on the amount of length you sample or what you sample, like everybody can come up with their own negotiations. So, but to sum it up, if you're sampling Last, you're sampling It Wasn't Man Enough by Toni Braxton. I don't know. I think Toni Braxton doesn't own publishing on that song, so you'll be paying to, what's his name? I think Dark Child or whoever it is that produced it. Because Toni Braxton wasn't listed as songwriter or royal. Or, I don't know how that works, but the summary is that you'll be sampling It Wasn't Man Enough by Toni Braxton if you're sampling Last.
it also depends on what you're sampling on Last. Because if you just went and sampled Last, you're not paying anybody. You're only paying Burna. But as long as you sample the melody or anything that's within the Bad Enough song, you would pay both Burna and whoever owns Tony's publishing on that song.
And that's how pretty much sampling works. So you pay whoever owns the publishing of the song you're sampling.
Exactly.
Anyways, thank you guys for writing us. I feel like that was a fun new episode, and people are like, you guys just get into the Shally Pumpy Shally review. But we'll get into that.
Yo!
News making the rounds. Nothing to you? It was just Ruger firing shots. Let's start with Ruger firing shots at Jonesy World. You know, he woke up on Thursday and decided to tell us why he left Jonesy World. According to him, they got too comfortable with the money, and the money they were making from him, and couldn't push him as big as he wanted to be pushed. I think the show has said this before. He also said they were using the money they made off him to push new artists without his knowledge, and they weren't being transparent with him when it comes to finances. So, what are your thoughts on that?
We've always said that, man. That's it. It will come down to you know, I wanted to be a bigger star. I'm making this amount of money and we're not doing anything with it. So on both sides, I can see the argument on both sides. Both sides, I want to run a label. I want a bigger label. I want to have more acts.
Yeah.
Right? And it just so happens that the money coming in is from only one act right now.
Yeah, but it's Rema.
Rema is like a deal with Maven. So,
I get it.
Splitting in between. So, Ruga is just Ruby Jones in. And you just feel like, look, I'm trying to build this big label. I'm trying to build, I need more stars. So, like, if they had, like, you know, they're giving him more time, you know, and they had more acts, you know, probably, you know, Ruga would now start seeing, like, the fruit of all labor and all that. Yeah. But, hey, it is what it is. Like, you can't wait because you don't know how long this thing is going to last.
Yeah.
So, Ruga is valid, you know, to jump ship. And, you know, Jones is valid to say, you know what? Yeah, whatever, man. We tried.
There's nothing wrong with jumping ship. I just thought it was like a publicity stunt. They released a song that day. You came out to say, your label is doing this, doing that. I mean, it's good to speak up. Like, if your label is cheating and you feel like not to use, it's always good to speak up. But the way this industry works sometimes, I don't want to say it's good. People always regret speaking up in that manner. But if you think that's how you need to go so that they can settle you and do right by you, then by all means. But I don't know, publicity stunt for me. It's still valid. It's still valid, but yeah. For the upcoming. But anyways, let's move on to Wiz, Tems, Oxlade making Spotify's 100 greatest R&B songs of the streaming era. Spotify released the list of the top 100 greatest R&B songs of the streaming era based on quality, impact, replay value, influence, and cultural significance. Wizkid's Essence featuring Tems ranks as the highest African songs on the list at number 21. Tems' Free Mind was placed at number 29. Wizkid recorded a second entry on the list with Chris Brown's Call Me Every Day, which was at number 71. Oxlade's Viral Hit Closer was at number 88. Other Africans on the list include Tyler's Water at number 60. Cameroonian American singer Libyanka also made the list with her hit single People, coming in at number 99. I think valid list, I guess.
I'm just you know, noticing that these are ranked under R&B.
True, I know Afrobeats.
Look, they give it R&B, as you can see. So you do not need to.
Yeah.
Oh, call me the man for beat over this. I'm more. Hey man, just make your music, and they would rank you wherever they want to rank you.
That's how you know those songs that R&B in my ears. It didn't even clock at all. It's some of the Afrobeat songs that, as people call them, good R&B songs.
Yo, man, that's what it is, man. Just make your songs. And leave Afrobeats alone, man. Leave us alone.
We can't change the topic. I mean, we can't change the title of our podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, but there you have it. Let's move on to the main topic. And the Plutomanias. Let's get on board the Plutomania spaceship. Charlie Puppy has dropped. And surprise, surprise, everyone is divided. On one side, we have those who say this album is bad. And on the other side, we have those who say, what were you expecting from a Charlie Puppy album? I say two things can be true. Shakes Puppy by Charlie Puppy, I think 9 songs, only one song has like feature from his guys, production mainly handled by his go-to guy, producer X. There's also Larry Lane's P2J. The album didn't really cut it for me, even by my Charlie Puppy ears. He's rapping more on this one, and the rapping is terrible. I think the mixing sounds very off for some reason. Is it a bad album? Yes. Does it have a couple of good songs? Also, yes. And I think this is kind of like a style now, even from the album cover to the title, Shakes Poppy. You know, he's trolling us and it works for him. You know, again, two or three songs will be added to his catalog of hits, and I think he's fine with that. For me, I love the first song. That's my favorite song by far. I like High Tension. I like New Cards. I went in with my Charlie Poppy ears, so I wasn't really disappointed like that. It's a fast food album. You know, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And I say so far so good. I think his fans aren't tired of him yet. So I think it works for him. The trolling works for him, and the formula of releasing an album having two hits, it's their thing now. So let's see how long that will last. Yeah, so that's my thoughts. Am I thinking of that?
Okay, so pretty simple. Yeah, we all already know where I stand with Charlie Poppy. I don't think Charlie Poppy is a rapper, you know. Or maybe not, I don't think that he's a rapper. Whatever kind of rap he's doing is not good rap.
Rapping on this one.
Yeah, he was actually rapping on this one. Most bars not rhyming, but it doesn't matter. But with that being said, you've actually called it the only three good songs, like songs that you feel, it's not like I would say good songs, but I just feel like these are the three songs that will make it to, you know, our era of playing it in the clubs, seeing it online, seeing it on memes, seeing it on like reels and all that kind of thing. So you're not going to escape these three songs. At least one of these three is going to pop out. And that's ASAP, High Tension, and Billion. Yeah. One of those three is going to make it out. So don't worry if you hate this album. I'm sorry. You're going to hear one of these songs. So with that being said, that's pretty much it. It's not my cup of tea, but it is what it is. You can't escape. Can't escape Shake Poppy.
You can't escape Shake Poppy, man.
However, I think that the promo for dropping this EP is the baddest promo.
I loved it. I don't know what people were saying.
Baddest promo.
I loved it too.
It has the modest promo.
You can't even tell from the what he was saying in terms of, oh, you know, and all the, you know, like he has like some funny one-liners, and I think that's why
I loved it.
Shakespeare don't do pass this one, no. And it just, you know, he was like, you know what, let me play on this whole Shakespeare, and it's the boy just having fun. I really don't care for the album, this one in particular. But yeah, like you said, one or two songs will come out, we'll come to it, move on to the next one. It comes out again, does the same thing. And I think for now, it works for him. And people aren't tired yet. So yeah, that's it. That's it with Charlie Poppy. But in terms of what people were saying, that should you expect Charlie Poppy to, you know, give you a good album based on him saying, oh, he doesn't write music, he doesn't do this one. What do you think about that? Some people are like, that's not how an artist is supposed to be judged. Come out and give us your best material, or don't come out at all.
This is all he got. If this is all he got, this is all he got. You can't see it. This is all.
What you are.
You literally cannot do. What's your power? Like this is how he knows how to make music. You know, he's not the one to go sit down with like veteran producers and like, let's construct something that would, you know, elevate my people. Nah. That's not Shakes Poppy, man.
This thing on my conspiracy theory on this is his brother will be the one to give us the rap bars that we want, or at least
tell him. You guys are not gonna love that his brother's music. I'm pissed off with you.
Then he just comes, gives us the, because you
vibes.
Know, have a label under this thing now, so he's trying to, you know, see how they can scale his label. But yeah, that's it. That's our take on Shakes Poppy, Charlie Poppy. going with your Charlie Bobby ears, and you won't really be disappointed.
You won't, man. You won't.
You won't really be disappointed. I think Show has learned his lesson now. He's not really complaining. He's not really complaining for that first hour. You can see that he has adjusted. You know that this is what this guy can do. No, we complain again. Anyways, two albums came out. One from veteran producer Young John Jiggy Forever. Mm. I think the most surprising thing about this album for me was when I was checking the credits, and I didn't see his name on any of the producer slots. So I don't know if he co-produced or if it was an omission, but I don't think he produced any song here.
I was like,
I didn't see any produced by Young John. 16 track albums, features from Don Jazzy, Zlatan, Yah Levis, Sean Paul, Blackbone, Shea Vibes, and Kiss Daniel. Like I said, this is a stellar production lineup. J-Tunes, E-Piano, T-Mode, Magic Sticks, Young Willis, Blaze Beats, Tales, Primes, Rage. This is an all-star Amapiano Afrobeats Avengers Assemble type of production. The album is good vibes, but to me, I feel like it worked better like 2 or 3 years ago at the peak of that log drum sound. It still works now, it just doesn't hit as hard for me because, this sound don't tire me. But a couple of gems, especially with the features, I like the features, all of them came through, even the Don Jazzy feature. It's a decent album for me, I like it. I'll, go back to it, pick a couple of favorites of mine. But for now, I think the songs that stood out were the songs I've heard before, minus the one with Yah Levis. But it's a decent album. I don't know what you think.
No, clearly, because if you listen to this album the same day that you listen to Charlie Poppy, you'd be like, oh my god, this album is amazing. Because that's what I said, like, the first time I heard it, like, and I just listened to Shakes Poppy. Yeah. So I listened to it, I was like, oh my god, this album is mind blowing, and that's just because I just listened to Charlie Poppy. So anyways, but when you come down and come back down to earth, you realize exactly what you said. This album's coming out April 2024. I think if this album came out in September 2023, yeah, it would have stayed on the amazing plane. Like, I feel like it just came out like 8 months late. But it's still a good album. Like, yeah, so this is what we're saying. Good body of work. Young John did not disappoint. Stellar production all through. Features came through, Kiss Daniel is on this album, And it's a really good song. It's a really good song. So, like, I can't really count, like, where, I can say, oh, there was a bad song. He had features with Sean Paul, which is a really good song. For My Tank with Don Jazzy. 50 Billion with Zlatan. I love that song. Shapali, which I was like, oh, is Charlie Poppy on this? But Shapali was a really good song as well. Starts off with Tony Montana, I give what you take. I think this is a better Tony Montana song. But yeah, like, all through, I can't really complain about anything. I just think timing was, timing kind of affects the album. But if we don't have anything for the summer, I think this album will produce a bunch of hits that, people are gonna play a lot. So yeah, that'd be it.
Not a bad album at all, man. So those are the two albums that came out. I'm praying and hoping this will open the floodgates for, more R&B acts. I think next week is the Ruga and Buju R&B collaboration project, which we're not mad at all. So
just a random thing. Like, there's another album that we kind of missed. Also, it was because on weekend that we took time off. Sometimes we just miss some things. Like, I'm sure there's another listener that's like, oh my god, I can't believe they didn't talk about this album. But Fumbi, we all know who Fumbi is, released an EP which is flawless. 7 tracks, top to bottom. Fumbi does no wrong. Absolutely amazing project. You need to listen to it. It's called Love Lust by Fumbi. Yo, that's it. That's all I got.
Love Lost by Fumbi. You guys should check
that's
it
out. All I got.
The album is good, though. The album is stellar. The album is fantastic. It's
mad. The production is mad. Singing is mad. Everything is mad. So, listen to it. Love Lost by Fumbi.
That's so, how I yeah. Speaking of next week, Po and Roga released another song. The song is, the name is Po by Roga and Buju. It's produced by Blaze Beats. I feel like this is one of those songs that will even sound better when they drop it on their joint EP next week. I like it. Yep. No complaints for me.
Same thing. I feel like it will sound better on the EP. It will sound much better on the EP. Yeah. Right now, it's pretty decent song. So yeah, shout out.
All right, let's also go to Ekelebe by Stoneboy featuring Odumodu. This is the Ghana and Niger collab. This is exactly how I pictured the Stoneboy and Odumodu song. Sounds like a grimy Jamo dancehall, you know, sprinkled with rap music. I like this one too. It's another song like I went back to when I was listening. So yeah.
I wouldn't say that I liked it. I won't say that I liked it, but I think it is what it is. It is what it is. You can't expect anything more than what, you know, what they're giving you on this. So just go in the same thing, you know, fresh ears. You might like it, you might love it. And to me, it might just be meh. So
all right, let's go on to by Chris Brown and the title is so funny.
That's yo.
Yeah, by Chris Brown and Davido. This one is off Chris Brown's 11/11 Deluxe, and if I'm not mistaken, this is like their sixth or seventh collab. Look, Chris Brown. I'd have said come and collect green passports, but even me, I want to read my own green passport. come collect NIN or BVN or something. Let's give you an honorary name. You know, let's. It's about time because I don't, you are Afrobeat. You are now, you're one and the same.
Yo. First of all, like, it's on his deluxe album, which is 35 songs.
Bro.
Chris Brown's gas. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you need to have someone to say, yo, this thing you are doing.
I think for Chris Brown, we've lost that battle a long time ago. I can't remember the last Chris Brown song that had 12, that had, in fact, 15 songs. I can't remember the last Chris Brown song that had.
Yo, like, yo, Breezy, I love you and all that, but 35 songs? That's 2 weeks, man. It's going to take me 2 weeks to listen to this thing. Come on. Anyways, it's on track 8. So that's the thing. Like, if you can get to like 10 songs, this song is track 8. And of course, I feel like Lil J wrote Chris Brown's verse. I don't know. It just sounds like a Lil J verse. I won't be, you know, I won't take it away from. But yes, anyways, it's a dope Afrobeat song. You know, video is gonna come out, you know, everybody's gonna love it, you know. So shout out Breezy.
Our
number one Afrobeat international.
Don't give him the title.
Between
let's move on to Tire by the Band, Zlatan, Timaya, Specy King again, Bad Boy OML and K-Switch. I heard this song and I was like, all of it came together. This ain't it, Chiefs. This ain't it. I think it's a the band celebration type of 20 years on stage or something like that. But man.
Yeah, which, I mean, he did have the show last weekend. This weekend. Was it this weekend? Friday, I think. I don't know, man. I don't know. Shout out to Banj. That's it, man. Shout out to Banj. Legend. Shout out
the band. And again, I think I same thing. Shout out the band, legend. Let's move on to Another Day by Lona. I love this one. I love what Lona is doing, especially with his visuals. He's doing everything right. Dope songwriting when it comes to this Another Day song. Dope songwriting, dope delivery. Totally like the guy. I haven't really heard any misses from him. And he's just building his catalog gradually. I love the song Another Day by Lona.
Yo, beautiful song. I even love the single album art or single art. Just that alone caught me. So shout out to Lona. Beautiful song. I think, you know, the production was stellar. his voice and his rhythm went in. So yeah, shout out to Lona. Where are you from? Is he Abuja cat?
No, I think it's Lagos. I think it's a Lagos cat, but I'm not really sure. I think so. But we'll check and get back to you guys. No Worries by Mologo is the last song we listen to.
Mologo.
Yeah, I like this one too. The drums, as in the sound, especially. I don't know if I say the drums, but it had like a certain different sound to it. We just like, you know, grab them to listen to it a second time. So I like it. Mologo by No Worries by Mologo, another dope songwriter.
It starts off with like the drums, but like high life.
Yeah, exactly.
A little talking drum. And then of course Mologo does what Mologo does. Vocalist is really good. But this one he was kind of like humming through, you know, for most of the parts. But yeah, it's a really good song.
Yep, really good song. Let's move on to the next segment. So let us get into Eliminate this week. And it is a Fails versus Young John Eliminate. songs they sang, or songs they were on and sang, not songs they produced. I think that was like the only way I could do this without, you know, all the calamity. We have Finesse featuring Buju and Stamina with Aya Star and Ira doing battle.
Feels Stamina. Nah, it has to be Finesse, man. There's nothing.
It has to be Finesse or nothing. Doing battle again. YOLO, YOLO by Feels and Maya Kofina by Young John. What say you?
Maya Kofina. What is life, man? H2O.
Alright, this is what I like. Let's also move on to another round. I have this is a Davido feature with Electricity. Vibes with Frequency that Fails. And then my name is Dada. Featuring Davido. What say you?
Dada. Electricity. Like when I'm in freakish. And it's Electricity, man.
Show went with Electricity with that one. Let us move on to Stand By You and Ulama.
He's already. We're not even finishing it. Ulama is going all right, through.
Without finishing, Ulama goes through. All right, now we have Finesse with Buju and Electricity doing battle.
Finesse.
Right. We also have two Young John songs doing battle in Ulama and Aquafina.
One is about water. One is about an Igbo girl.
Yes.
Water Igbo girl. Igbo girl water. Water Igbo girl. What is life? You know what? Let the Igbo girl move through. Right. Shout out to my Igbo girls.
Shout out to them. Moving back in the final round, we have Finesse featuring Buju and Young John's Extra Cool doing battle. What say you?
Finesse, baby. Finesse. It's only Finesse. It can only be Finesse.
Mix it. That is the ultimate Eliminate song on this week's Fails versus Young John. And with that, we've come to the end of another great episode. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Afrobeats Weekly. We hope you enjoyed it. New episode of the podcast drops every Monday. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify. Wherever you get your podding from, we'd love to hear from you. Use the hashtag Afrobeats Weekly. Please leave us comments, suggestions, send new music. Tell us if you've read your music or not on fanmail at afrobeatspod.com. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram on Afrobeatspod. We'll catch you in the next episode. Peace out, people. Peace out.
Peace. Don't apologize.